All right, so acknowledgements. I want to give special shout outs to Rodney Bolden, who was the executive director and head of industry engagement and learning at Morgan Stanley at Work. Anthony Shropshire, who's the senior vice president, wealth management advisor at Merrill Lynch. Tasha Garcia, financial advisor at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management. And Jeremy Olshan, who is the personal finance bureau chief at the Wall Street Journal. And especially, and also, the rock star leader there, Etim Edim, who I believe is the CFO of Morgan Stanley's Technology Operations and Firm Resilience Division. Given how dynamic he is, I wouldn't be surprised if that role is shifted and he stepped it up to another level by the time you hear this message. Such a great individual. And also, special shout outs to the members who were there that I got a chance to shake hands with and talk to: Sebastian, Shanice, Michelle, and of course the executive board members Kenneth Holly and Norval Barrington. Okay, great. So these individuals are the engineers, you could say, behind the event. Kenneth, Norval, those are the executive members that I got a chance to meet behind the event and in partnership with Morgan Stanley. And the opportunity that was here was for guests to rethink what there is to think about in order to rewrite the financial future. Okay. And so in this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things, I'll be sharing with you one of the touchy subjects that was covered during this, and maybe a controversial solution that some might agree, some might not agree with, at the end, that I concluded as a result of hearing the different perspectives on how to rewrite that financial future. So if you're interested in that conversation, this is the conversation you don't want to miss on the Grind Scheme of Things podcast. So during this Rewriting the Future with Financial Literacy workshop, there were a lot of questions that were posed. And in this particular podcast, I don't get a chance to cover all of the questions. I mean, they range from trusts to wills and what the difference is, to how do you set one up and what does it take, to how do you create buy-in with your parents, or what happens when you've lost a loved one or a sibling and now you want to have a conversation with, your parents about what to do to navigate or avoid similar situations in the future, or what the financial implications of such a situation is in the future, and handling that awkwardness, what to do with the documents after you get a divorce, and updating your documents so that if anything should pass, or happen to you, that the benefits of that particular policy does not go to your former partner, right? Nothing malicious. It's just, the principles and the practices of updating your documents is a thing that you have to execute in order for, the intentions behind your policy to be honored and your wishes to be honored. So all that to say, there was so many questions that were posed, great questions by those who were in attendance, and also great wisdom that was shared by the professionals that were present. So if you're interested, of course, in future versions of this particular event, make sure that you follow the page of the National Black MBA Association New York City chapter, or in your local chapter, wherever that might be. They may have an equivalent workshop for you. But definitely don't miss out when the subjects are relevant to whichever part of your blueprint and your life that's important to you. So thanks again for listening. So I want to summarize some of the best practices that I heard during this event on different subject matters, but they kind of all run together, right? On this matter of, how do you set things up where you can lower the contention with creating buy-in. So one of the individuals who was there was Anthony Shropshire. And, he mentioned something, even though it sounds so subtle and so simple, he talked about, creating, sometimes to break the generational curse, as cliche as that sounds, or the financial trauma, you actually have to start with your own children. So what does that look like? Well, in his case, one of the things he mentioned was, he now has a couple investment accounts that he has created for his children, and they get the statements. They can't wait to, you know, look in the mail to see how their accounts are growing. I think he's got some investment accounts for them set up so that they can see how the market is moving. And I'm not sure if he was the one that mentioned that the best age to start talking to the kids about money is the age of seven. So all that to say, like, that was, you know, one of the solutions that he mentioned as far as creating what the financial narrative in his particular household. The other individual who had some wisdom to share as well was Jeremy Olshan, who was there. And Jeremy mentioned that, in response to a question that someone had posed about how do you create buy-in with parents who are a little bit reluctant to just really have the conversation about life after they're gone. And sometimes, you know, one of the ways that, you know, that conversation can come up would be if you ask and say, hey, listen, you know, mom or dad, I'm in the process of getting my financial ducks in a row. What advice would you give me? Right. And of course, naturally, in the process of them having to give you advice, or maybe, you know, accepting the invitation for them to give you advice, they get a chance to reflect on what they're doing or not doing that perhaps you can both kind of, you know, discuss and, you know, invite professional support with, that would then open up the conversation even further as far as what the best practices are to just make sure that I's are dotted and T's are crossed. So, and Tasha Garcia, who was also present, one of the things that she mentioned in response to just highlighting the value of updating documents, life insurance policies, or whatever the situation is that you might be in that has a binding impact between you and your significant other. You know, she mentioned that in some cases that, you know, there's challenges where couples have gone in different directions and the documents weren't updated. And there's sticky conversations to be had where, you know, someone either passes away or some, you know, maybe there's a life-altering event and the ex-partner is now, you know, a recipient, right, of the benefits of that particular policy. And again, I mentioned this earlier, or depending on what sequence you're listening to this audio in, that, you know, it's not about, you know, being malicious with your intentions with the policy. It's about updating it to reflect what your current life situation is, right? So that things go the way that they're supposed to go. So that was, you know, really wise and practical advice and counsel that was received there. And then the other thing is, you know, that was also shared during this event was by, I'm going to say Rodney, who's the executive director there, about financial trauma. And that one of the ways, you know, because the resistance sometimes that we experience with our finances and discussing them with, you know, members of the family is, you know, the trauma that people have experienced, whether it's the trauma of being denied financial opportunities, being denied loans for years, or, you know, the trauma of just living many, many years from paycheck to paycheck. And that one of the first things to just acknowledge sometimes in order to move forward and have the conversations is acknowledging that that is there. Okay. To acknowledge that it is an experience that people have had. And in order for us to work around it, you know, we need to accept that, yeah, that is an experience that people have had, but it should not stop us from moving forward. Last but not least, one of the things I also do want to say that I believe it was Tasha that mentioned this, which was that sometimes in order to kind of create an even playing field for the conversation to be had, is that you can invite professionals to have the conversations with all parties, okay? You, significant other, or parents, or even in some cases, maybe children, right? So that there's a voice, a third party voice that's sort of saying, hey, listen, this is the best practice. These are the best practices. These are our options. And everyone can kind of weigh in a neutral scenario on what's good, better, or best for everyone involved, right? So that was another key takeaway that I wanted to summarize and share with you about, you know, that I got from participating and, or I should say, really observing and listening in on this particular conversation. So as I advise at the end of this, if these perspectives or these nuggets of wisdom are relevant and valuable to you, definitely feel free to pass them along or begin to implement them. However, the key thing is to make sure that you got the right professional oversight and support with execution. Okay. And you know, taking the initiative also to use a blueprint framework, whether it's through the financial institution that you're working with or one that you have identified works for you that you would like, you know, buy in from your financial advisor, right, to support you with. So either way, help yourself to the resources and the connections and the contacts and information shared in the description section of this. So with that, continue listening, and I look forward to talking to you soon. All right, so money matters can get messy. I think they can. You'd be kidding yourself if you can't raise your hand and say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, it can get a little messy. But with the right professional support and help, it can get cleaned up and organized and orchestrated in a way that makes it a fun and inspiring experience. So inside of the model here, if you are a first-time listener of the 24-Hour Blueprint, or I should say the Grind Scheme of Things podcast, which emphasizes applying principles from the 24-Hour Blueprint framework to your life in five categories. That's your faith, your fellowship, your finances, feelings, and fitness, okay? You know that I emphasize how important it is to use or have or even be in a process of engaging with creating a blueprint for each of those areas of life if you want to see growth and transformation in them. Okay, so in this particular case, we're focusing in on what does it look like to create a financial blueprint, which is essentially what it comes down to when you're rewriting the future, especially in the area of finances. So as you are rewriting that future with whatever blueprint you choose or have, there are going to be some touchy aspects of that blueprint. One of those aspects of the blueprint is the transfer of wealth to another generation, okay? In that process of transferring wealth to another generation, there are documents that are involved, there are accounts that are involved, there are agreements to sign off on, and there is this matter of buy-in from, in some cases, the generation that's come before you. And what I mean by the generations that come before you is in the case of sometimes your parents. That was one of the, you know, touchy matters that was raised during this conversation in this event, which comes down to the question of, okay, what do I do if I need to help my parents get their things in order, get their will or get their trust or assign a beneficiary to, you know, be recipient of whatever they've amassed over the course of their lifetime, and how sometimes there's an impasse there. There's some difficulty there because they're either not informed or not educated or not sure, or they've got their own version of financial trauma that is keeping them from comfortably having the conversation that they need to have based on the inevitable, which consists of their transition or their passing, and things being, you know, locked up at the state level or held up at the state level due to paperwork not being filled correctly or even being in existence, right? For things to be transitioned and transferred over to their children, right? Which in this case would be you. So what do you do in those scenarios? And see, these matters are matters that require, in some cases, a great professional who has had the experience and exposure to people who've dealt with that, right? One of the things that stands out to me was the question that someone had posed, which was, hey, listen, they had, you know, someone in their life who passed away related to them, and they wanted to have a conversation with, you know, their parents about, hey, okay, now that this has happened And I'm imagining that it may have happened unexpectedly. Like, how do we now want to move? How do we want to pivot in the wake of what has taken place? And that conversation being a little tricky to have. And one of the advice, one of the pieces of advice that was shared was sometimes to have those difficult conversations with the generations that have come before us, or creating that buy-in, it doesn't hurt to have a third party, in the case being the financial advisor, sitting down with all parties and kind of being the, what's the word, sort of the independent wisdom keeper about what's best practice. Because sometimes your parents, the generation before you, they may not want to hear what you have to say, but they'd be curious, or at least respect the professional opinion of a third party, mentioning and saying, hey, listen, in their experience that they've, you know, encountered scenarios and situations that resemble the one that you're in. And it kind of makes them impartial, right? And as a result, maybe there's a new conversation that can be had because there's a third party who, you know, isn't taking sides. That's just presenting the facts and the evidence of what best practices there are in order to resolve whatever situations or impasses that exist, right? So this particular part of the conversation is the Q&A section, I think, was very, very valuable for members who were there, whether it was your question directly or indirectly, or even if it wasn't a question that you thought of, you now had to take that into consideration. So if you have aging parents and you're trying to make sure that things are in order so that in their transition, you know, things are not confusing, this was a great opportunity to have some of those questions be answered. But if you weren't there, I think best steps to take would be, I'll share the resources as far as the links to the page to the event where you can identify who was there and who you'd like to reach out to based on those who are in attendance and see if they can answer those questions for you as well. One of the things that I mentioned that it came up slightly in the conversation, but I want to underscore was, you know, the value of, if you are looking to create buy-in to financial, your financial future, or best practices for your family, right? An extended family or an immediate nuclear family, it is a matter of individual ownership, taking 100% responsibility to show with your own life decisions how these decisions need to be made and how they are valued by you. And I call this personal alchemy, right? We underestimate, and as cliche as it sounds, you know, I can, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're saying, right? Really holds true. I'm of the perspective that when we, at the very least, take the radical initiative of being 100% owners and examples, or owners of being examples of the financial principles and practices that are necessary for wealth transfer, a wealth transition, a wealth transmission, however we want to name them, it at the very least dampens the noise of someone not believing what we are saying or advising or suggesting or recommending, because our lives are wobbly in this particular area, right? And it you know, there is no other thing that you can take 100% ownership of as far as modeling, right? We can talk about asking the questions in a million ways of how do I, but the most powerful thing in my assessment is the illustration of these principles in people's lives. During the end of the event, one of the things I got a chance to do was just have conversations and ask, you know, those in attendance what their thoughts were and what their takeaways were. And one of the books that came up that I'd read recently was Wealth Choice by Dennis Kimbrough. It was Success Secrets of Black Millionaires. And that particular book kind of underscores this idea of personal alchemy, in my opinion. Why? Because all the individuals that he mentions and highlighted in that book were people who, at some point, they faced remarkable levels of adversity, but they still had the will to continue to push forward and win and align themselves with the right professionals to support their causes and their efforts. Now, it took sometimes years before they got there, but what allowed them to get there, wherever they arrived at, to get to that multimillion dollar status, it required that they become examples of the future they were aspiring to secure so that those around them could identify and get on board with what they wanted to do. And I feel like that is such an example or an embodiment of this principle of really being the financial change we want to see in our environments. And that goes for any community, any culture, any race of humanity that is, you know, about trying to make any kind of change, right? Whether that's, you know, social or scientific or whatever it is, you got to stick to your own convictions about what's going to work and what has worked or what is working, specifically what is working and will continue to work if it's founded and rooted in great practices that others can follow. One young lady that I got a chance to speak with at the end of this event mentioned how, you know, she took the financial initiative of buying property. And as a result of her initiative of buying property, three of her friends bought property too, right? And how many stories do you know? And you might even be part of a story or someone else's story where someone, you know, took the financial risk in a particular investment or in a particular real estate deal. And you said, okay, well, I trust them. I'm going to follow their example, right? So we can't underestimate, you know, when it comes to rewriting the future, how much our own following of a path, a blueprint, a practice really can inspire others, especially if it's sound and reasonable. So all that to say, remarkable event. Hats off to everyone in attendance who were present and those who couldn't make it. Hopefully the resources I'll share with you just in the form of the invitation to the event and access to the professionals. If you want to look them up on social media or on LinkedIn, you can ask them your questions as well. You know, let them know you missed the event, but based on perhaps what you've heard me share, that there were, they are people that you would like to seek out and get their support and their counsel and get counseling from, right? So all that said, thanks again for listening in. Hopefully this has been of value to you. I can't, you know, I don't, not enough time in a day to just break down every, you know, great morsel of insight that I got from this. But if you're interested in hearing it directly from the professionals who are in attendance, please help yourself to the resources below in the description section. And hopefully that will inspire you on your path towards rewriting your future with financial literacy. All right, thank you for listening to this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things. If this has been of value to you and you believe it could be of value to other people, feel free to share it. And of course, help yourself to the links below to learn more about the professionals who were there, whether it's Ms. Garcia or Mr. Shropshire or Mr. Olshan or Rodney. Mr. Rodney, who was there as well. So many great individuals that I get a chance to meet from afar and up close and personal and shake hands with. It was just a remarkable event. Great job to, and shout outs again to the NBA New York Metro chapter. You guys did a great job. And of course, one last thing, I forgot to mention this as well. There were refreshments at the end that were also remarkable. I wish I would have gotten the name of the culinary mastermind behind the whole thing, chef that was there. So if someone knows them and can get this over to them, please acknowledge them. It was a remarkable experience at the end there and getting a chance to meet and greet and talk with all the other team members. So thank you guys for listening to this episode of The Grind Scheme of Things, and catch up with you soon.